Good afternoon. I'm Florence Schwein, your host for today's El Paso Primetime. And El Paso fitness and nutrition professional Patrick Hopkins is with me as we continue our grocery shopping segments. He is helping me to make the best choices possible in the grocery store. Patrick holds a BS in nutritional science from California Polytech State University. And as a personal trainer, Patrick emphasizes that exercises work hand in hand with the foods we eat. Although I'm shopping for my husband and myself, and we are in our 70s, the hints I'm getting really are good for all age groups and family sizes. By the way, if you missed our other segments, you can find them at ktep.org by clicking on Past Programs. In the archives, scroll down to El Paso Primetime. Time ran out last week, Patrick, when we were just discussing soups. Canned soups versus soups in pouches or tubs or the dried soup varieties. How about that?
Yeah, we have we've been talking a lot, that's for sure, and run out of time many times, haven't we? We have lots to say, don't we?
I don't know, but I'm sure learning a lot. And here, you know, I've been grocery shopping for over 52 years.
And you're still learning.
And I'm still learning.
That's great.
Right. Well, the food industry has changed.
Absolutely.
I think.
And so has Americans in the way that we eat.
Right. So here we are, soups, canned soups. Soups in pouches? Who ever heard of soups in pouches?
Yeah, that's kind of a new one, isn't it, the last few years?
And then the dried soup varieties. Mm-hmm. What's the best buy here?
I don't know that there's a best buy. I think that the concern is to minimize sodium intake, and mm-hmm. that's huge. You know,
right.
Sodium is a contributor to many of our ailments, specifically hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
And some forms of heart disease. You know, with all that sodium, we increase our internal water intake, and that puts a lot of stress on our heart. So my concern for soups typically is surrounded around sodium, and sodium is a huge component of especially canned soups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of salt, got to have flavor in there. So I think I think if I could avoid canned soups, that would probably be my better bet and go with the pouches or the things that you're expected to add your own vegetables to,
mm-hmm.
and then simmer it. Unfortunately, most people don't reach for those types of pouch products because they're time-consuming, and they don't want to spend a whole lot of time in food prep. So they go to the cans.
Well, and, you know, I use soup as a way to empty my refrigerator sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I often get the little cubes for stock.
The bouillon, yeah, sure.
The bouillon cubes. Or you can buy stock, actually, mm-hmm. in containers. But I've noticed the ones that are in containers contain more salt. And so I go for the low-sodium little cubes or the packets.
Okay. And even the are you talking about the cardboard containers
mm-hmm.
type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's low-sodium varieties in those, in the chicken broth.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it in the chicken broth a lot, not so much in the beef. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So that's always the big concern, is reducing sodium. And, you know, it's not unlike eating a can of soup and already attaining more than half of your RDA for sodium for the day.
Right.
I mean, some of those things are in excess of 1,000 milligrams of sodium. And, you know, the RDA suggests 2,400 milligrams of sodium for the day. So we're getting up there real fast.
And you can taste it. Now, we've lowered salt at our house.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really taste it when we go out to eat, thirsty afterwards.
Yeah.
And the same way, you can taste it in soup cans.
Yeah, it's very obvious the overabundance of sodium in foods.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
What about the different types of salt? You know, sea salt and kosher salt and,
you know, it's salt,
no salt. Those additives,
yeah,
there's no
quite
salt?
A few. I think the biggest concern from a nutritional standpoint with respect to sodium is maintaining adequate sources of iodine.
Mm-hmm.
Iodine is a very important nutrient. It's rooted in thyroid function. It has some associations with hypertension, with breast cancer, with mm-hmm. overweightness. Sure, yeah. Your thyroid function is becoming an epidemic in this country too, with respect to hypothyroidism. And
so that's why they add
iodine is a necessary component that is rooted primarily in the thyroid function, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's why we iodize our salt. That's our greatest source of iodine in our diets. There are lots of nutrients that have great amount of sources of iodine in them. For example, a potato has a potato with the skin has 65 micrograms of iodine in it. When the RDA for iodine is 150, that's pretty substantial.
That's good.
A cup of milk has 37 micrograms.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be very substantial. However, most of us reach towards our sodium. And now we're getting into kind of multivitamins. And if you are abstaining from iodine-rich salts, then, you know, where are you going to get it from? And if you're not a naturally healthy person and you're reaching for those fruits and vegetables or fish, you know, cod has a great amount, like almost 100 micrograms in it. So, you know, now we're into multivitamins and we can get into that later. But at least you know that you're getting 100% of your RDA for iodine in a multivitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And iodine is a huge component. So back to your question about salts. Iodine-rich salt is a very important component, especially if you're not reaching your iodine needs in your other nutrients throughout the day. There are salt substitutes. There is one called alt salt, and it's not iodized, so you have to make sure that you're getting your iodine in other sources. Yeah, there's sea salt, there's iodized sea salt, and there's regular sea salt. So again, there's nothing wrong with the iodine. However, if you're a huge salt intake person, you might want to consider reducing your sodium intake, going with a salt substitute instead that may or may not have iodine in it, and then looking towards other sources of iodine in your daily meal planning to attain that iodine need.
So is there a different amount in the different salts?
No, typically when it's iodized. I'm not exactly sure if you take in, let's say, a teaspoon of salt, which is almost reaching your daily value for salt for the day.
Oh, right.
If you've also attained your need for iodine as well. I'm not quite sure about that. I don't know that they put the iodine component in on the nutritional label for salt. I'm not sure that they do.
It either says iodized or not.
Right, exactly. Right. So to come full circle, I think soups are great, especially if you're one that makes your own soups and you add your own vegetables to it and you add your own roughage to it and things like that. There's a lot to be said for making your own food because you know what it's made of. Go to a restaurant and you just don't know.
That's true.
You just don't know. And a lot of times someone who is very health conscious walks away feeling very disappointed with what they've received. Mm-hmm. It happened to me over the weekend. I took my son to Albuquerque to go see The Lion King. And there was nothing open really, so we had to go to a restaurant. And he ordered his thing and I ordered my thing and it was just horrific. And I sent it back. It was just soaked in oil and kind of thing where you just eat more oil than you do anything else and that's all you taste. So there's a lot to be said for making your own foods. You know what went into it. You know the nutritional value, essentially, and you have so much more control. And control is the central component of your own food prep.
And being responsible.
Sure.
But, you know, I find it easy, if I've done a roast, to use a little bit of that beef and, you know.
Lots of flavor to be had from it. Absolutely.
Lots of flavor and add some veggies, and I have beef vegetable soup or chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, if I make too much for one meal, I put the rest of it in the freezer.
Yeah.
So,
you know, a lot of people.
It's economical.
A lot of people are looking towards reducing sodium intake. And one of the big components is increasing the herbs and whatnot that you use in your in your cooking. But that suggests that we need to cook our food. And so many Americans are not cooking our food. We're not preparing our own food. We're eating out. We're reaching for the quick fixes at the grocery store that are pre-prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's a shame.
But you can make soup in 15 minutes. I mean, that's what I'm telling you.
But you know that.
I know
that. We've already discussed.
I do that.
You're unlike the norm. And so you know that. But most people will not dedicate that time, largely because of ignorance. They don't know what's involved. They have to pull up a recipe. They just don't know. So
we name our soups because they don't have recipes.
Well, right.
What's this called today? Well, I don't know. And we'll
Let's
be sitting there and we name it this.
Right.
But don't ask me to repeat it.
Yeah, and that's even better. I mean, you've learned to just kind of add things and create your own taste.
Yeah.
You know? And most people don't do that. Yeah. And that's the
And
shame.
Sometimes to get a little extra fiber, I dump some bran in or some flax seeds. Any other ideas here?
Flax seeds are great. It's more of a roughage based. It's more of an insoluble fiber. We don't process the whole seed. Another way to actually create a little bit more solubility in your fiber intake would be to add milled flax.
Oh, milled flax.
Bran is literally the whole of the wheat germ, and there's not a whole lot of nutritional value in bran. However, it does promote a sense of a source of insoluble fiber, that roughage component.
You know, and you can't even taste it.
No.
You just know that
bran has no flavor whatsoever.
Yeah, you just know that it's there and that you're getting a little extra fiber. And
sure. Yeah.
So if you are just joining us, I'm Florence Schwein, and my guest is nutritionist and personal trainer Patrick Hopkins. And this is the sixth segment of Filling My Grocery Cart with Foods That Make Sense and Are Good for Us. Please remember that this adventure is a challenge for educational purposes only and not an endorsement of any particular product or grocery store. The freezer cases, Patrick, we've talked about flash freezing. That's hard to say. And how good the food industry is in doing that. But there are a lot of prepared foods in these freezers. What would you say? Well, they taste good. You're giving control of what you put in your body to someone else.
Right.
And I think they have more salt, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The food industry has learned that they need to make things taste good because taste is always going to supersede anything else.
Mm-hmm. And sugar and fats.
Yeah. It's
all of them.
It's not to say that there aren't healthy alternatives to frozen foods.
Mm-hmm.
There are. But there's also the extension of cost as well.
Right.
And most people are not willing to pay that additional amount for that healthfulness. They would rather spend that money elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame. And our overweightness in America, nearly 67% of us are overweight.
Really? That high?
That high. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over 30% of us are obese.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it's getting bad. It's getting really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And child obesity is...
It's just growing.
It's stayed stagnant for the last year or two,
but
it is much higher than it was in the last decade.
And that's so sad.
So sad. Mm-hmm. So sad. And the problem is that, those kids aren't the ones that are making their food. It's the parents.
Right.
So the education starts at the top of the family, you know?
Yeah.
But I think frozen foods, they're warranted at times, but...
Right.
And there are, like I said, there are some healthy alternatives, but it's kind of like the soups. It's a crapshoot. You know, you're giving control to the food industry again. And
be careful.
And be careful. And honestly, if I had my choice of someone consuming a healthier frozen food as opposed to either not eating it at all or eating the entirety of their foods out at a restaurant or fast food, I would always choose frozen foods.
The frozen.
Sure.
Foods. Yeah. Well, off to the dairy case. We've been waiting to get there. Let's put some eggs in my basket.
Okay.
White or brown?
There's no difference in nutrition.
Yeah, the chickens don't know the difference, do they? Now, I confess, I often buy egg whites and mix them with a whole egg for omelets. Good idea?
Great idea. Absolutely great idea. I think most people, unless you're using – when I make my eggs in the morning, I use a cup and a half of egg whites and one yolk. So there's a lot of egg white. And do I taste predominantly egg white? Yeah. Am I used to it and do I appreciate it? Yes, I do. For the average person, an egg white or two mixed in with a whole egg, you don't really taste the difference.
No, you don't.
That
and if you put some – bell pepper and onions, and
asparagus,
and celery, asparagus,
mushrooms.
It makes a great mushrooms too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of ways to spice up a scramble. Make it a veggie scramble. Make it, you know, dice up some chicken in there. Mm-hmm. Top it with some cheese. That kind of stuff. There's a lot of ways to do that. But again, there's the factor of ignorance that most people don't know that that's even an option.
But
they're
so
not
easy.
Even willing to try. And my clients go into a lot of my food suggestions wondering, what the heck are you doing to me, Patrick? And they try it and they love it. They love it not only for the flavor, but they also learn to love how that food makes them feel. And that's my greatest goal with respect to nutrition, is making that association between the food is nutritious and it's healthy, but it also makes you feel really good about yourself. And that's the component that will continue to drive them in their efforts to maintain that healthfulness.
I just have to ask, can I freeze, me and my freezer here, can I freeze yolks or whites for another use if I'm not?
Sure, yeah.
I don't think that that's something that people know. I really...
Most people, I don't think, would stock enough eggs or crack enough eggs at one time to realize, oh, I've overdone it. Let's freeze some, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes, you know, if I – that way I can freeze the yolks to use in something else or whatever. Well, that's good information. But what about those egg substitutes? Less cholesterol?
I think that's great. When you consider that your average large grade A egg has about 200 to 250 milligrams of cholesterol in it, and the RDA for cholesterol is 300, we're almost reaching our cholesterol needs in just one egg yolk.
Right.
So
that's a lot.
That's an awful lot. Yeah, especially considering that's only one meal. And most people will have a burger, some other form of animal-based products, and that's the only way that we get cholesterol. So, yes, in an effort to reduce our cholesterol daily intake, that's a great source of increasing our healthfulness, absolutely.
And they're so handy.
Very handy.
They're just
absolutely
very handy.
Yeah.
And you can measure them out, and it really works for me. Okay, milk. We accept the idea that children need milk, but what about adults? Then there's so many kinds. There's whole milk, skim milk, low-fat milk, no-fat milk, organic milk, milk for lactose intolerant people. What should we be using? It's very confusing.
When I have a client, I don't have many clients that are on whole milk as an adult. I have many clients that are on 2% as an adult. And 2% is still, gosh, I'm guessing, I think it's somewhere in the area of 52% fat.
Really?
Maybe it's 37. No, I think that's 1%. Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. Whole milk is crazy fat. My goal is to slowly integrate the lower fat milks into their meal planning. Mm-hmm. I think milk is an incredible source of protein. I think, especially considering premenopausal women, I think it's a great source of calcium.
Vitamin
D, sure. It is truly an incredible source of protein, animal source protein. However, a lot of people are also lactose intolerant, and that subdues them immediately. So am I. And I have to take in the little tablet before I consume my milk.
Otherwise, I get the lactose.
Yeah, I don't appreciate the lactaid. It's got a flavor to it, a sweetness to it that I don't like a whole lot. And it can be cumbersome to make sure that you're either buying your specialized milk, your lactose-free milk, or you're buying your tablets, your lactose-based tablets.
So, well, I can tell you what I buy. I buy the no-fat lactaid with calcium added.
Okay, that's great.
I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think the long and short of milk is it's underdone, and I wish it was done more, and I wish it was done with a little bit more healthfulness in mind. Mm-hmm. There is not that big of a difference between 2% and 1%. There is a substantial difference between 2% and non-fat, however. Yeah.
But you get used to it. I mean,
you get used to it, and that's the problem.
And now when I have whole milk in a restaurant,
whole milk is like drinking cream. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I just wish that more people would actually step outside their box and be a little bit more experimental in and they're tasting,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But then there's no fat half and half. That just is an oxymoron to me. I don't know how they do that.
Isn't it, though?
But, you know, when I use half and half, or is it called for in a recipe or something, I get the no-fat kind.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, it is kind of an oxymoron. How do you have no-fat cream? You know?
Well, I did look that up at one point. It's a chemical
thing.
Is.
Yep.
Yogurt, plain, no fat. Again, I do the no fat yogurt.
I would prefer the no fat or low fat. Low fat's not technically mm-hmm. terrible. Mm-hmm. The new yogurt that's been out for the last 4 or 5 years is Greek.
Right.
And it's enriched with.
Or Bulgarian.
It's a greater source of protein. There's much more protein. Than regular yogurts. The other downside to regular yogurts is that they're fortified with so much sugar.
Gelatin.
You know, gelatin, the fruit on the bottom thing is a lot. There's just, we're back to flavor and manufacturers have to
but
make it
flavorful.
But you can
put that no sugar fruit spread.
And that's exactly what I have my clients do. You know, getting some Greek yogurt and adding some of that high fiber fruit spread to it,
mm-hmm.
where you have control now. You've taken control of your sugar source. Adding some fresh fruit to it, diced fresh fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in, if you really need a little extra sugar, then throw in some artificial sugar in there. A little half packet of Splenda or something like that. And then top it off with a tablespoon of milled flaxseed. You've got a great meal right there. High fiber, great meal, high in rich protein. It's incredible. It's a great meal.
Yeah.
But again, most people don't go for that.
Yeah, you know? I have to admit, I have to add a little bit of the sugar substitute to
the Greek
yogurt.
Has a bite,
and
it
so does the Bulgarian.
Yeah,
and so I do that, but
and thick. It's awfully thick, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Cottage cheese, I get the no fat. And by the way, I often, you know, cottage cheese, you have to use it pretty quickly when you get it, and for two people, it's hard to use that up real quick. But I often put cottage cheese in my scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
It's another way to use it.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
It works real well.
I
makes them creamy.
Whenever I make a pasta meal, I find myself adding cottage cheese to the end product. And it's actually,
it's
got a creaminess to it that, that makes this, the pasta or spaghetti very good.
And using no-fat or low-fat Swiss and mozzarella and cheddar, you can't tell the difference in most things unless you're eating just straight cheese.
And you're right. And I think when you're talking about the varieties of dairy products, specifically yogurt and cottage cheese, is there a difference in creaminess between fat-free and 2%? Sure, there is. But do you really taste it that much? I would rather go for – some people would opt for fat-free cheese, and I think fat-free cheese is horrific. I would never suggest
it's
fat-free
cheese.
It's like
rubber.
Cheese. Oh, it doesn't melt. It's just – you're right. You can bounce it off the wall. It's terrible.
I know. Try fat-free provolone. It's awful. It's like string.
Right. Take you know, go with your lower-fat alternative on your cottage cheese and then go with the 2% – on your regular cheese and add some flavor back in you. Rob from one to give to another.
To another.
Exactly.
To get both. And it takes a little creativity, but it works.
It sure does. Sure.
Sure. So this cart is full. I think we're going to eat really healthy. What's the buzzword now for that? Clean eating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Clean eating. Yeah.
Clean
responsible
eating. Yeah. Oh, I like responsible. That makes more sense to me than clean eating. Mm-hmm. That was a buzzword I didn't really know. So the bottom lines for good nutrition. Water. How much a day for an adult?
Well, I probably am a little overdone with that. I would like to see all adults getting in close to a gallon a day.
Wow, that would be a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. But it's amazing how you feel with that hydration.
By doing it.
You know, water doesn't have any energy to it. But considering that...
It makes everything work better.
It does, you know.
It's considering, like grease.
Based on our age, we're anywhere between 60 and 70% water. And and the lack of hydration inside the body has a direct impact on how the body works, you know.
So protein?
Protein is the nutrient that lacks so much. Especially quality proteins.
Fiber.
Fiber is huge. Yeah. I wish we had a lot of time to discuss fiber. Fiber is very important, especially for reducing cholesterol, and there's a huge process associated with that. But the RDA for fiber is about 25 grams.
And I'd really?
Yeah, I'd like to see that happening, especially in this day and age where we have so many issues with colon cancer. And that is a huge component in reducing those ailments.
So vitamins and minerals.
Yeah, we're back to that multivitamin. You know, even if it doesn't have to be expensive, it doesn't have to be cumbersome, but it sure can give you a lot of safety. A lot of guarantee that you're at least getting the RDA for all your all your base nutrients.
And women need more calcium too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a difference between men and women
yes,
in vitamins.
Is. Especially pregnant women.
Right, right. So we should be really careful with that. The carb thing, is it somewhat like counting calories when it comes to good nutrition? Or should we just kind of get rid of some of those myths?
Yeah, I'm not really big on the calorie counting idea. I think it's cumbersome, and I think it can potentially lead to failure in being nutritionally attentive. I think that revamping the types of carbs that you consume, controlling when you consume those certain carbs, I think that's the key.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe there's hope for us. The First Lady has certainly heightened awareness with gardens. And I just read about Campbell Soup Company's 10-year plan with a $10 million investment in a healthy communities program. And for 9 years, we lived next door to the town of Camden, New Jersey, where after the first year of working with kids in the community and making exercise available as well as educating parents about good nutrition, they've had some real positive things. Now, I know the company itself is restructuring, and so they've had to close some plants, but, you know, it's part of those tough choices, I think, that
yeah.
we have to make.
And I think it was a great – yeah, I think it's a great trade-off. If they're able to succeed in this, then I think it's a wonderful stepping stone for possibly adopting that for the rest of the nation.
Yeah, or for companies taking that responsibility.
Sure.
That's kind of what took my eye over it. Patrick, I am so grateful to you for guiding me through this shopping experience. I have learned to read labels, buy foods that provide the best nutrition, and find bargains in the process. Patrick's website is www.builtbypatrick.com. And his phone number?
830-431-1242.
Dennis Wu, thanks for encouraging this series and making the shows available to our listeners at KTEP.org under past programs. The people at the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation brought Patrick Hopkins and me together because of their interest in healthy lifestyles for all of us. So, it's been a joint effort to wish each of you good health. I'm Florence Schwein. We'll be right back.